Section 3, The New Deal. As you read, look for how President Roosevelt's New Deal was designed to save banks, put people to work, relieve poverty, and permanently reform the economy. The objectives of the FDIC, CCC, PWA, and WPA. Lasting effects of the General Textile Strike. Successes and failures of the New Deal. Terms: New Deal, Collective Bargaining, Social Security Act. Herbert Hoover, the Republican president, had not caused the Great Depression. He had tried to fight the economic downturn, but nothing was improving the desperate conditions. Hoover and the Republicans got most of the blame. In 1932, Democrat Franklin D. Roosevelt, a distant cousin of President Theodore Roosevelt, was elected by a landslide. Roosevelt promised the American people a New Deal, programs intended to bring about economic recovery, relieve unemployment, reform banking and credit, and improve society. South Carolina gave him 98% of its popular vote, the highest percentage of any state. Relief, recovery, and reform. President Roosevelt swung into action on the first day of his administration to reduce fears and give hope. The first 100 days were a whirl of feverish activity to deal with the crisis. The banking crisis. Roosevelt dealt with the banking crisis by ordering a bank holiday. He closed the banks, sent in federal inspectors, immediately reopened those that were healthy, and gave assistance to the others to ride out the storm. This action gave people new confidence. He then got Congress to pass laws to reform the banking system. One law created the Federal Deposit Insurance Corporation, FDIC, which guarantees that bank deposits are safe. Emergency relief. Relieving desperate financial need and putting people to work was the New Deal's highest priority. Some emergency relief, aid to people in need, was simply in the form of cash payments to needy families. But recognizing that people wanted to work and earn money, the government set up several agencies to create jobs. The idea was to get money into the hands of poor people who would spend the money immediately. That demand for goods would put other people to work, and those workers would spend money, creating more demand. Thus, the spiral would start going upward, and recovery would occur. This was called priming the pump. The government had to put some money into the system to get the money flowing again, just like old-fashioned hand pumps had to be primed with a little water to get the flow started. Relief was the highest priority to prevent starvation and extreme suffering. Recovery would grow out of the relief and jobs programs. Government spending would enable private enterprisers to produce again, hire more workers, and make profits. Reform was a longer-range goal to make sure this type of collapse did not happen again. Relief and jobs. Federal relief and job agencies began distributing grants of money to states to spend on relief. In South Carolina, nearly one-fourth of the population was eligible for relief, compared to about one-tenth nationwide. Soon, the federal agencies were spending over $1 million every week in South Carolina. They hired workers at 40 cents to $1 an hour to build and repair highways, bridges, sewer lines, school buildings, and courthouses. Emergency federal funds were spent to hire teachers, start free school lunch programs in some rural areas, and even pay a relief orchestra in Richland County, in addition to doling out money to needy families. Complaints began to come in about favoritism, political connections, and unfairness. But Carolinians started to feel that help had finally arrived. Roosevelt's buoyant optimism was starting to rub off on Americans. FDR, as everyone called him, talked to the people informally by radio in occasional fireside chats to explain programs and build confidence. His radio talks proved the usefulness of this new technology. The CCC. The Civilian Conservation Corps, CCC, was created shortly after Roosevelt's inauguration. This popular and well-run New Deal program allowed young men from families on relief to sign on for 6 months of conservation work for $30 per month. The CCC sent 22 of their earnings home to their families, but it provided the men with 3 hearty meals a day, clothing, and tents or barracks to live in. The camps, run by military officers, had recreation buildings and libraries. They offered after-hours classes in literacy, business, and technical skills. The CCC men cleared thousands of miles of fire breaks in national forest, planted trees, thinned trees to prevent forest fires, and worked on soil conservation projects. Their most visible contribution was work on state parks. South Carolina had no state parks at the beginning of the New Deal. The CCC constructed Hunting Island, Poinsett, Paris Mountain, and Myrtle Beach state parks to get the system going. The PWA and WPA. The Federal Public Works Administration, PWA, was important to South Carolina for providing immediate employment and income for desperate people, as well as for building schools, libraries, courthouses, and other community improvements across the state. Another agency, the Works Progress Administration, WPA, also built lasting structures such as hospitals, highways, bridges, sewer systems, parks, and airports. In addition, the WPA supported artists, writers, musicians, and teachers. For several years, the federal WPA was the largest employer in the state. These government agencies lifted both incomes and spirits. The WPA provided much of the funding to rebuild the old Dock Street Theater in Charleston. It reopened in 1936 with a performance of The Recruiting Officer, which was the same play the original theater opened with 200 years before. Labor Troubles. South Carolina textile workers had been angered by the speed-up and stretch-out techniques of the late 20s. Many had joined unions for protection. The New Deal programs set new rules and standards for labor that were more advantageous to workers. In 1934, the United Textile Workers called a nationwide general textile strike to force mill owners to live up to the new standards. Strikers closed down most of the mills in South Carolina. Tensions rose and violence threatened. At Hunnia Path in Anderson County, violence broke out between strikers on one side and strike breakers, factory officials, the South Carolina National Guard, and law officers on the other. 6 strikers were killed and 12 wounded, most shot in the back. The union lost the strike. Textile workers had to go back to their jobs or lose their income and face an overwhelming armed force. Many workers in South Carolina were not rehired unless they signed an agreement not to join a union. The general textile strike disillusioned and disheartened workers so thoroughly that most were reluctant to try to organize for collective bargaining. In collective bargaining, all workers bargain as a group with their employers on wages and working conditions, giving them much more strength than when each worker bargains only for himself. Despite New Deal laws protecting the right of laborers to join unions, South Carolina has remained one of the states with the fewest labor union members. The Santee Cooper Project. The South Carolina Public Service Authority, better known as Santee Cooper, is a state-owned utility company that today provides electrical power to rural areas of all counties in the state. Although delayed until 1939, the project hired 15,000 workers with federal PWA money, cleared 160,000 acres of timberland, relocated cemeteries, built dams to create two lakes, and erected a power plant. It was the biggest New Deal project in the state. The Federal Rural Electrification Administration built distribution lines. Lakes Marion and Moultrie, built by the project, have become favorite recreation areas with lakefront homes, state parks, marinas, and championship fishing. Santee Cooper and the lakes are great economic assets to the state. Reforms. Most of the reforms of the New Deal greatly magnified the federal government's role in the economy and in individual lives. Reforms in agriculture included government support for crop prices and requirements to reduce crop acreage. Both were designed to increase crop prices, and they worked. That helped landowners, but with fewer acres being tilled, many sharecroppers and tenants lost their jobs and had to move off the land. New Deal labor legislation was designed to strengthen the position of workers in negotiations with management. Legislation protected laborers' right to join labor unions. The Fair Labor Standards Act established a 40-hour work week and set the minimum wage. The initial minimum of 40 cents per hour has been increased many times over the decades. One of the most important reforms of the New Deal was the Social Security Act, which set up the federal retirement system that is in place today. Both laborer and employer pay into a pension program. Around age 65, the retiree begins to receive monthly checks. This insurance system also provides payments for disabled persons and for children of deceased workers. It provides a sort of safety net to keep people who cannot work from falling to the desperate levels many Americans experienced in the 1930s. Housing reforms saved many homeowners in South Carolina from losing their homes by mortgage foreclosure. The government bought mortgages from banks and allowed homeowners affordable rates. The government aided banks and home buyers by insuring the loans. These measures encouraged people to become homeowners. All these reforms caused the federal government to have a much greater presence in the lives of citizens than ever before. The legacy of the New Deal. The New Deal in South Carolina had many successes and some failures. The intervention of the federal government in the state's economy helped many people to survive who would not have without assistance. After the reforms in banking, only two banks failed in the state by the end of the decade. The state gained many water and sewer systems, bridges, thousands of miles of highways, hydroelectric plants, state parks, and hundreds of schools and other public buildings. Laborers got a better deal, shorter hours, higher wages, and the guaranteed right to join unions. A major failure of the New Deal in the entire country was that it never brought the economy back to full recovery. Real progress was being made, it seemed. Then in 1937, Roosevelt was persuaded to slow down government spending, which caused a recession, a reduction of economic activity that is less severe than a depression. World War II, with its massive government spending, pulled the nation out of the economic doldrums and set it on a path of prosperity that lasted several decades. Finally, on a positive note, both South Carolina and the nation experienced a renewal of confidence in their democracy, in the free enterprise system as modified by the New Deal, and in the possibility of progress. Americans learned that their government could provide them with a degree of economic security without taking away their liberties, as was happening in some other countries damaged by depression. Do you remember? 1. Define in sentence form New Deal, Collective Bargaining, Social Security Act. 2. What were some of the projects of the Civilian Conservation Corps, CCC? 3. What lasting effect did the general textile strike have on workers in South Carolina?